Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio, and kicking things off for us tonight, brand new from Charlie Bliss off of the Young Enough album out on Barsuk. That was Capacity. Speaking of capacity, we're at capacity for this show. We got lots of stuff going on, although unfortunately we don't have Ticket Momsters go to the gig recommendations this week. This weekend is, of course, Mother's Day, and it's right there in her name, Ticket Momster. Taking the weekend off and spending some time with family. But there are lots of shows coming up, and one of them is Jen Grant playing the West End on the 14th. And we're going to talk to Jen in a few minutes about her new record, Love Inevitable. We'll also be talking to mom author Anne Walsh about a book that she has coming out that is all about moms. And we got lots of great new music for you. Carlton Umel Smith has a new record out on Timian called 1634 Lexington Avenue. The contemporary soul singer totally fits the same mold as like Lee Fields and Charles Bradley and the like, and really caught my attention this week. Today happens to be my wife's birthday, and so this song is dedicated to her. This is Ain't That Love here on 101.5 UMFM. Park. All right, well, bringing her new record, Love Inevitable, to the West End Cultural Center next week, Jen Grant joins me by phone. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So you're touring a record that comes out at the end of the month before it's out, and I'm curious about kind of audience expectations or reception to something they don't necessarily know at this point?
That's a good question. I hope they're feeling open because I'm going to play new songs. Yeah, so it should be like, it's like a surprise peek.
Yeah. Now, you've released a couple tracks, or at least, one with video so far. Have you gotten, like, any early reception from fans or from audiences yet, or...?
I've had some good, I would say good feedback from people that they like it. I didn't actually really even think about it. I mean, I've kind of thought like, oh, it's kind of strange that we are having this album release tour like before the record comes out, but you know, just who knows what's cool with the kids these days.
This is a good question, right?
Yeah.
So I want to talk about Birds.
You want to talk about Birds?
The lead-off track is called Raven, and Birds come up in the lyrics throughout the record.
They do. I don't know why. It's just something that happens.
So when you're writing a song and you're writing lyrics, it's like stream of consciousness for you? Like how are you kind of ending up with this bird imagery throughout this record?
Stream of consciousness is a way that I have described my writing before for sure. So yeah, I think it just... they're symbolic for a lot of things, like obviously freedom and growth and stuff, I think maybe like expanding it came up and you picked it up.
So it wasn't necessarily purposeful, like you didn't set out being like, I'm going to write songs that involve
birds. I never write like, I don't really write purposefully, I guess. I just write.
So then when you stand back and look at your songs or look at your lyrics there, do you pick up on themes? And then is it sort of like you pull those themes together to make a record? Or how does that kind of editorial process go for you?
I think it's like in the span of time that I write a record that reflects a span of time of my life, mm-hmm. in a way. So they can be mean different things to different people, but it's generally like, stemming from my life experiences or like my feelings or hopes or dreams. And then, it's usually like after the record is done, it's almost like when they will start to reveal their meanings to me in a way, like as I'm performing them and stuff. That's kind of the way that I've always written.
Right. So the other thing that the birds represent, at least, I mean, you talked about like flight and kind of that like opportunity to take off, but there's the fragility, and you do talk about like kind of holding something in your hand like a bird and just how cautious you have to be. And you have talked about the fact that you didn't necessarily know you were pregnant when you were writing some of these songs. So it's not necessarily about motherhood, but that maybe subconsciously it's about motherhood. Is that like that bird in the hand and that like fragility tied to that?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, yeah, I think it's like you're writing about life and the fragility or the strength or the beauty or the struggles, that's kind of what I write about. And so that song like plays with the ideas of the end of your life or the beginning of your life, I think.
Right. Now on this record you ended up going to Portland to work with Tucker Martin, and this is the first time you've had a producer that wasn't your husband for a while. What led you to Tucker, and was there like a conscious decision to work with someone else, or?
Yeah, there was the idea to work with someone else. I love working with Dan, and we're great co-creators, and we've done like, at least four full length records together, and And I'm all about, like, new experiences and risks and change. And we both felt like it was time for me to try something. Like, it was the right time for me to try something different. And so, yeah, he was really encouraging of that. And Dan and I were both really big fans, especially of the Laura Beers records that mm-hmm. that Tucker produced. And so those Laura Beers records, particularly the album July Flame, it was always kind of reminded me of us, of Dan and I, like in our house in Halifax that we had 10 years ago. And yeah, I just kind of had it in the back of my mind that maybe someday I would reach out to him. So yeah, I just reached out, and it was very like quick and synergetic, everything.
So working with a new producer, then, was there any like having to learn a new vocabulary or a way of communicating with someone where, like, you know, I would have to imagine at this point mm-hmm. working with Daniel had been fairly like simpatico or like kind of on the same wavelength?
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Almost too much where I was like, oh, we don't even have to speak anymore, so maybe we should do something different.
Not necessarily the key to a relationship, but...
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I didn't know Tucker. I talked to him on the phone one time, and I had a great conversation with him, so I thought I had a good feeling about him, but I didn't, like, know what it would be like, and I was a little bit intimidated because I didn't know, like, he was going to bring in all the musicians and stuff. I didn't know who he was bringing in. And he brought in the sweetest guys, and one of them was going on tour with me, and Tucker and I were just fast friends. I felt like he feels like family, you know, like now, and I feel like I, you know, having been married to a music producer for 7 years and worked with Dan so much, I feel like I almost felt like I was, I don't know, I guess I know, like, I know, I think I just really wanted to show up and, like, do a good job, you know, like, I was, like, hoping that I would, like, be good enough to be there with these, like, pros, and,
Do you not consider yourself a pro?
I, you're right, I guess I'm a pro, but it was just, like, not in the yard.
Sure.
I mean, we just got on so well. Like, it was just, you know, there was a similarities between, like the, one of the things I like about working with Danny is his work ethic and everything. Like, he's really passionate about his work, and that's what I feel. So, and Tucker is just absolutely super passionate about his work. He kind of just, like, shone a, like, beaming light of positivity around me. And I just, like, relished the experience, really.
Now, you mentioned that his work with Laura had kind of led you to him in some sense. Mm-hmm. Laura is on the record.
She is.
On the final track. And I'm curious, like, did that come about through working with Tucker? Did you approach Laura separately, or?
Tucker asked Laura. Yeah.
Did you, have any apprehension or, like, just was it all excitement to have her on the record, or?
Well, I mean, when I met her for the first time, I felt a little bit like, oh my God, I've loved this person's music for so long. I, like, wrote her a handwritten letter 10 years earlier, and she sent me a postcard back. But, Laura's such a amazing writer and everything. And so it was just an honor to have her on there. And you know, I fell in love with their family, their children, and are special to me now, and so it seemed right that she would be on there. That was kind of a family thing.
So, as I understand it, you have a video coming out for Keep a Light
On.
Today? Okay. I was given it ahead of time, so I wasn't sure the
I don't know if it's today or yesterday. Timing. Yesterday.
These days, like, what goes into, I mean, because it's not like necessarily choosing singles, like having like an AR, mm-hmm. AR person. What songs get that kind of treatment or kind of you know, expanded universe of mm-hmm. that song? How do you go about making those decisions?
I think they kind of reveal themselves. They kind of decide on their own. Just the way that people sort of react, I think, to them. You kind of take note of that. And I try to not think about it too much. I just kind of, like, see, you know, this one seems like it's supposed to be something. So Raven felt like that for me, and Keep a Light On, you know, and Keep a Light On was the first song that I recorded in Portland with, like, with Tucker and Eli and Justin, and it really, like, solidified us as a group, and just, like, the feeling around us while we were playing that song and playing together, like, it just, there was just something special in the air around that, that was that day, I think, and so, yeah. I guess that's why.
Sure enough, yeah. And you write in a little kind of synopsis of the record that this is inspired by your mother leaving the light on for you because you would kind of stay out late.
Kind of. I mean, I think that's, like, more specific than it is in reality. It's just, like, a popped image in my mind at one point of, like, the porch life. But really, it's more, yeah. It's just, like, again, like, the stream of consciousness writing. It's like it's about, like, I think I said later, like, it's just, like, about keeping a light on in your heart.
I was gonna
say, like, kind of sort of striving towards something and remaining hopeful and whatever you're trying to build in your life.
It's like a physical manifestation of, like, an emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, before I let you go, I want to get you to pick a track that we can play off of the record.
Okay.
Whatever you want, but I'd love to hear an anecdote about it or a reason why you're picking that song.
Well, maybe you should play Keep a Light On since that's the one that's getting its little spa day treatment focus right now.
Sure enough. We will give that one a listen. You'll be at the West End on the 14th. In the meantime, safe travels and thanks for taking some time to talk to us.
Thank you so much.
I keep a light on for my baby almost every night. Keep a light on. Don't want a crazy fight. Keep a light on. Even if it's just the moon shining bright, I keep a light on. Everything's gonna be alright. Thank you.
To celebrate your mama, I may need plenty more times too, and maybe even that won't do. Ever since I was just a little boy, mama said to me, don't fool around, what goes around is nothing that you need. And when your friends start chiming in, don't you be mean. When in the end, every dot you send will only make you bleed.
listen to what mama say. You tell the truth and make your bed. Be kind on time and use your head now. Listen to what mama say.
When there was only a little left, she'd save it for me. And when I failed a test, she said, you try your best, there's nothing you can't be. And when she tried to hide that her eyes were red and never let me see, she said, go on ahead, I'll just rest a bit, don't you worry about me.
Listen to what mama say. You tell the truth and make your bed. Be kind on time and use your head now. Just listen to what mama say.
You, mama.
All right, well, obviously this weekend, Mother's Day, and perfect timing to talk to Anne Walsh, who is the author and editor of Out of the Mouths of Moms, From the Trenches of Motherhood. She joins us by phone. How are you doing, Anne?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So this isn't just your story, and so I'm curious about the idea to open this up and make this about lots of moms and not just your own motherhood story. Like, was that there from the get-go, or was this something that you kind of developed in time as you were working on the project?
The inspiration for the book started with my story because I was surprised by many of the elements of motherhood that came up for me. But the idea for the book came from speaking with other moms and realizing how similar their experiences were to mine, because I just thought it was me. I just thought, oh, okay, I'm really struggling with this. No one else seems to be struggling. I might just not be cut out for this. But as an art therapist, years later, my kids are in school. Everything's behind me. You know, they're sleeping through the night and it's all good. And now I've got moms coming in and I'm thinking, yes, that is exactly what my experience was. And after enough mothers had come through, and I was realizing there's a pattern here. We all seem to be dealing with the same thing, but no one seems to know. It's like a big secret. Why is it a big secret? Why don't we know this? And I realized that people outside of therapy, they don't really talk about the real struggles that they're going through as moms. And I think part of it is that we feel this pressure to be a really good mom and to be perfect and to get it all right.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to maintain that image that, yes, we're doing well, our kids are doing well, we don't open up. We don't speak about the real struggles. And I couldn't really get moms to open up to each other. Like, I'd be like, hey, maybe we can talk about this in a group. But the dialogue changes. They don't express themselves in the same way when they're around other moms. And I just decided that maybe I could interview them and collect their stories, and then mothers could read the stories, and that way they could share their experience, but they didn't have to expose themselves. So in my book, I don't mention any names. I just use a title for each book so that the moms know which stories there. And
My goal was for every mom to be able to pick up the book and resonate with at least one of the stories.
Right.
And so I aimed to get a really huge variety of stories. And that's what happened. People came forward with all sorts of stories. And I didn't turn anybody away. Anybody who wanted to share their story, I put in my book. Some of the moms that I interviewed didn't want their story in the book. After we had talked and I wrote out our interview and sent it to them, it was too raw and they weren't ready to share it. And they just needed to process it. So not all of the stories are in. I interviewed more than 50 moms. But the ones who did share their stories, they did so because they wanted other moms to know that they weren't alone and that it's okay to struggle. We all do. It's normal. And this is hard work. And they made it through, and those moms will make it through as well.
You mentioned people kind of being guarded to tell their stories. In terms of like soliciting them then, like how do you, I don't know, overcome that or like kind of get around that guarded nature? Like what was your kind of sell to people to get them to open up like this?
Actually, it was interesting because as soon as I posted it on Facebook and I put posters up in the coffee shops and the library and just saying I was looking for stories for my book, many moms came forward. There was no twisting of the arm, but I think a key was that they weren't going to be named. That was the key, is that it was anonymous. So if I had said, oh, can you come and speak to a group of people about your story, I think it would have been different because they would have been exposed and vulnerable. But somehow the fact that they could help other moms by telling their story without needing to reveal who they were was an essential part of the process.
Right. Now, you mentioned, you know, the expectations to like succeed as a mother and, you know, work-life balance should be something that happens and no one talks about the struggles around it. When it came time to kind of addressing that with some of the moms and their stories, you know, was there like relief on their part to kind of open up about this struggle and this like kind of like false narrative that we've created of, you know, everyone succeeds or, you know, especially because like social media, you only kind of post necessarily like your successful Pinterest meal or, you know, your like perfect vacation photo or something and not, you know, the meal that your child ate two bites of and threw in the garbage or things like that.
Or that you burnt because you were busy doing something else and burnt your meal and had to order pizza and the realities.
Right.
They don't show up on social media. So the mothers talked about quite a few stories are about struggling to figure out that balance between work and being at home. And I think certainly I experienced this, but many of the moms had a turn in their values. They had a shift where they were always a career mom, and all of a sudden they had a child, and they had to go back to work, but they didn't want to. They wanted to be with their child.
Uh-huh.
Or they had this idea of, you know, I'm going to have this baby, and I'm going to be at home, and I'm going to get my one-year maternity leave. And then suddenly they realized they didn't want the year maternity leave, and they want to go back at work. They were going crazy at home. And for some of the moms, making that decision to go back to work because it was the best thing for their family, they couldn't be as good a mom being at home. They needed to go to work. And that was the best thing for their own mental health and for their family. And the backlash of that, of people like, but you get a year of maternity leave, but I don't want the year. Well, yeah, but what kind of mom, right? The judgment and the assumption that, of course, you're going to want the full year. And so from the variety of moms, what I heard was moms who were struggling because they didn't want to go back to work, moms who desperately want to be back at work and were struggling with people's reactions, and then everything in between. And one of the things that I wanted to show in the book is that motherhood isn't cookie cutter anymore. It's not, you know, it's not like we all stay at home and wash the house, clean the house, and wait for our husbands to get home from work with a hot cooked meal. Like, it's not, we keep going back to this time in our minds, and we expect that that's what life is going to be like, but it's not. Things have changed, and we have so many options, so many choices now, and maybe you don't have any children until you're in your 30s because you're in school, or you didn't meet the right person, or you choose to wait just because you want to enjoy your life and travel. And then other people, maybe they marry their college sweet, their high school sweetheart, and they have a baby in their 20s. And by the time their girlfriends are having children, theirs are already out of the house. And so there's so many different stages of motherhood, and it's not like everyone on your block is doing the exact same thing. So maybe your friends haven't had children yet, and they're inviting you out to go party, and you're exhausted by like 8, and you can't, and all of a sudden you lose a whole bunch of friends because they just stop inviting you. Or maybe your friends have had children already by the time you have yours, and they're happy for you, but they're not at that stage anymore. They don't feel like reliving it. And so as you're sharing stuff that's happening, they're like, yep, I remember that, but there's no, they don't want to elaborate or hear about it. They're done, like they're so done with that stage. And so it can be harder for a mom to find her tribe, if you will, for a mom to find a group of other moms that are going through the exact same thing that she's going through at that moment.
You mentioned judgment.
Yes.
I think a lot of that stems from kind of these, like, adherence to those, like, kind of old norms of, like, how a mother behaves or what their role is and things like that, and that, because you said, you know, we're moving to a point where everyone is making their own decisions, what works best for them as a parent or, you know, a person, that this is kind of like that clash between the, like, throwback attitude and the, like, future of parenting.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition, and it's unfortunate because I think everybody's trying to figure out, did I make the right decision? And we compare our decisions, and we try to figure out, oh, I did the right one. No, she's made the right choice. I'm messing up. Or there's all this comparing going on, this competing. And you even see it in like birthday parties. Your child has a birthday party. I went to a birthday party once for a five-year-old, and they had rented this hall, and it was, like, so extravagant. It was almost like a wedding budget. And you see this on Pinterest. You mentioned Pinterest before, where, you know, the costumes that are handmade for Halloween and the treats that the moms made for this birthday party and the clothing that the children are wearing and how much they spent on technology and how much they get from the Tooth Fairy. I can't remember who it was. Somebody at my daughter's school got $50 for a tooth. And she came home to, like, so-and-so's mom, or so-and-so got $50 from the Tooth Fairy. And I was like, really? I mean, what do you say to that? It's just like, well, you don't have the same Tooth Fairy, obviously. You know, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of competitiveness, and it is unfortunate because in the end, if we stop focusing on the differences, the how of parenting, and we come back to the fact that we're all doing what works for us. We're each and every one of us was raised in a different family, and we have values and beliefs that come from our upbringing. And then our personalities are different. The partners that we choose are different. Our households are different, our children. And so you have to do what works for your family. It's not like a one-size-fits-all approach to motherhood. And if we stop comparing and we just accept that everyone's doing what works for their family, and we look at how we can support each other and share and be there for each other, we'll do so much better. Because part of this hesitation to share our struggles is because we fear judgment. And so everybody's got their guard up. And as soon as you share something real, and other people share something real, it doesn't matter what your choices are. You're two human beings, and you're going to mess up in your own way, and you're going to succeed in your own way. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that you have a group of people. You have a tribe. You have people who are there to support you. who acknowledge, you know, you're not invisible. They see you. They know that you're trying your best.
Well, speaking of support, some of the proceeds from this book go towards creating community support for mothers, specifically in your hometown of Kempville, Ontario.
Yes.
Wondering, is it like an organization that you've kind of helped spearhead, or was there an existing thing that you kind of tied into?
Last year, I was doing, I think it was in May, and I was talking to a group of moms online, and one of the moms was talking about having children on the spectrum and that there wasn't much support. We were talking about anticipating summer and, you know, the summer holidays coming and what's everybody doing with their kids over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that there was nothing for children on the spectrum, I thought, I'm going to look it up. And next time we meet, I can bring all of these resources up and, you know, and that would be helpful. But what I realized is she's right. There's nothing. There was nothing for her children because a lot of the camps, they have criteria regarding who can attend camp and who can't. And a lot of times, if a child is on the spectrum, being in a new situation with new people, it can be overwhelming, especially if it's a huge group.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they get worked up and they act out. And then they're told that, oh, no, your child was aggressive or your child, we couldn't manage your child, so they're not eligible to be in this program. Or if they need toileting, well, they can't accommodate that. So then that child has to stay home. And there's such a huge responsibility on the parents, especially if they have to work, to then become a full-time caregiver for their child because there's nowhere to bring this child. And so last year when I was hearing this, and it was kind of hitting me like, wow, what do these parents do all summer? I started looking at fundraising to create a respite program where local teenagers would be matched up with a family and go once a week and spend time with children, and so the parents would have a little bit of respite. So this, my thought was that this summer, depending how well the book sold, because I'm trying to organize stuff in anticipation of proceeds.
Right.
I'm hoping people buy the book and that I could have a healthy budget. But my goal is to have the respite program, and I've already talked to different people in the community, and I have an idea sort of what it could look like. But again, it depends on what kind of budget I have, and on a non-budget point of view, I have different things that I've started to do on my own, which is looking for people to be mentors, mommy mentors is what I'm calling it, and so people who can be assigned to a new mom in our area so that they can talk to her and see what she might need as far as support. It could be as simple as, you know, picking up groceries for her or cooking an extra meal and bringing it over once a week or helping her take her children to appointments if she doesn't have a car during the day, or just coming over with a cup of coffee and having an adult conversation.
Mm.
So that's one thing that I'm working on, getting people on that list so I can pair them up. And I'm compiling a list of mompreneurs, so mothers who've started their businesses and are trying to make a go of it. It's really hard as an entrepreneur to, you're basically working in isolation, trying to make things happen. And so if there's a list of them and we're promoting their business and we're using their services, then that helps them stay home with their children or succeed in business so they have a healthier balance. And then I'm looking at, I had done a needs assessment with families in the area to see what supports they were using, what services they were using, and what supports they'd like to see. And I heard a lot about single moms and then mothers with children on the spectrum. Those were the two where I was seeing a clear need in our community. And so the respite program would help mothers whose children are on the spectrum. And then there's a meetup that I'd like to start in the summer when everybody's out of school called Flying Solo, and it would be a meetup for single moms who, you know, if you want to go to the beach for the day or you want to go to the museum or whatever you want to do, it's an opportunity to meet other moms and kind of, after a while, get to know who in your neighborhood is single and so that you can plan stuff together and go out on a regular basis.
Well, like all moms, it sounds like you have a lot on your plate. The book is Out of the Moms, available through Amazon. And for more information, people can visit annwalsh.ca, and that's Anne with an E. Happy Mother's Day in advance, Anne, and thanks for taking some time to join us today on the phone.
Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate it.
When you might, I hope the world is kinder than it seems to be right now. And now up the front page isn't just a reminder of how we keep letting each other down. When I was your age, things didn't seem to be this hard. Riding bikes out on the street, playing tag in the backyard. You'll outgrow your shoes, you'll outgrow your bed, you'll outgrow this house. Just don't forget when you're all grown up, but you don't feel that way. You're still baby, even when you're my age. When you might still be full of questions that I wish I had the answers to right now. And those dark times might make you second guess it. I bet love will still be making the world go round. When I was your age, I didn't worry like I think you do. Back then, innocence was something you could hold on to. You'll outgrow your shoes, you'll outgrow your bed, you'll outgrow house. Just don't forget when you're all grown up that you don't feel that way. You're still gonna be my baby, yeah. Even when you're my age. Have kids someday, I hope you teach them the Lord's Prayer before they go to bed at night, like my daddy did for me and his mother before him. Something about it just keeps you right. And I hope you don't work too much overtime, right there beside them when they close their little eyes. 'Cause they'll outgrow their shoes, they'll outgrow their beds, they'll outgrow that house, and you can't stop it. Life will line your face, time will turn the page, but they're still gonna be your babies, just like you're still gonna be my baby, even when you're my age.
Joshua tree loves its water. Don't always need it, but it's nice when it gets hotter. I love him like a redwood loves the sky. What's the fun if I could have him all the time? South Dakota, only stopping once for cigarettes and road salt ice. There's nothing left in that godforsaken state, nothing left there for us to argue or debate. I love him like a fairy loves diesel fuel, you know. We both missed it on that Thursday afternoon. It was summertime in Hyannis and we had to park in some private lot. Should've left earlier and it was probably all my fault. I love him like a Joshua tree loves its water. Don't always need it, but it's nice when it gets hotter. I love him like a redwood loves the sky. What's the fun if I could have him all the time? November night to ask if he could sit in. I was taught it's so much easier to just forgive. I love him like he loves his new girlfriend. If he had it his way, he'd never talk to me again. Except, hey, how you doing? You know I miss you a lot. Out of all the boys in the United States, oh, I would still ride with you.
Thank you.
From the new record, Everything is Broke, that is Muito Cabala with Tin Tin. That's a forthcoming record that I got thanks to Switch Stance. Before that and before the break, brand new Rye. Boy, is it great to have some more Rye. I'm excited to note that Rye are coming back to Winnipeg after, well, I mean, technically playing Birdsill Park last year. September 15th, a Rye show here in Winnipeg. Looking forward to that, and hopefully we can get Mike Milosh back on the phone to talk about it. So, going to play you a little more music before we hand things over to After 8 Radio. May 10th today, lots of records came out, including this one. I've been sitting on it for a little bit, thanks to some industry folks who sent it to me ahead of time. But Javia Mighty, who is one of the members of Toronto rap supergroup The Sorority, has a solo record out today called 13th Floor, and I'm going to play you a pair of tracks from it. Lead off track In Women Color, and then a track featuring Claremont II called Smoke. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
If I was taller, you would run from me, huh? If I wasn't ballin', I couldn't be a cup of tea, huh? I mean, what if I wasn't somebody, huh? Since rapping makes you so uncomfortable, huh? You never actually f*** with me, huh? They used to say I'm too loud, but that's cool now. Love my skin, always been proud, guess that's in now. They used to say I'm too black with that crew rap, and I choreo the boom bap over new trap. Huh, wearing your maze. Before they called us monkey, where are those days? That cotton picking with them, where are those slaves? I want them on the rise like varicose veins. And I'm darker than my friends, yeah. And finally they see it and they start to get the trend. I gotta do 2 times more to get 4 times less. But it's cool cause I'm sharper in the end. Still, let's talk about it. About the fact I got commercial appeal. So okay, ultimately it's them dollars that be turning the wheel. Most my homies, they want gold and not that surgical steel. They wanna make more than we currently will. I mean, I get it, I'm trying to stack. All of the coin. I love that I'm black. Noise. Boing. Lady parts, but I'm fierce. This a daily dog for my fears. Is it lazy talk for my peers? I'm a paper palm with my tears. I gotta interrupt the service. I gotta switch it up. I gotta think above the surface. They dropping, they change. I'm picking up the purses. History deserted.
You think I'm proud to be associating with you? I don't need you. And most importantly, I don't need you.
All my life I hung with the man them. Yeah, sometimes they gotta let you know that you different. I used to point guard, set the play on some balls. Poised tall, 7th grade, still a small shrimp. We was running, we was shooting, and this one boy was moving ruder than he usually does. At one point, he threw my ball over my reach. I'm talking way down the street like 45 feet. I step like, is you serious? This ain't the end, there ain't no period. This is a mess, I ain't inferior. Bro, he stepped to me cleanly, and he cuffed me by the neck and he beat me. Struggle about it now. It's just my struggle with the power divide. Cause even as little kids, he told me with his hand around me that all the other boys don't ever wanna hang around me. And they don't f*** with tomboys, it's a squad of small boys. He was swinging hard like I ain't had my dad around me. Like I ain't always had my sisters and my fam around me. Side eye, had him used to act around me. Looking back, I ain't have a bad around me. Still I leveled up, I always had that ladder around me. Now I'm rocking big stages and they gather around me. I got nothing but them groupies and them fans around me. All said, can you see by the dawn's early light that I'm proud like the star-spangled banner around me. Shorty gloss like that lack around me. More boss than the mans around me. Lil' couldn't shake me. Lil' couldn't break me. Nah, Lil' couldn't shake me. Lil' couldn't break me. Big boss in a mini-me suit. Stand tall cause the city needs truth. I'm the main one filling these boots. I'm the same one singing these tunes. You're not raw and you really need rules. I'm as smooth as breeze moves. I can prove my gene pool is made for Thug Cathedral. My man be so unequal. I wanted you playing the game still. I weigh in, I'm tipping the scale still. I built the platform in the frame still. I think you rappers ought to stay still. Unless you really trying to break bills. Otherwise I break dreams. That's why half my bars have the same theme. I see the light at the end of the ray beam. I mean, I have always had an attitude. You will always think I'm mad at you. And get walked over like a pair of shoes. I fly over like a parachute. And hit you with that bird beak cock. Sounding like a girl meets got you. You can never block that, don't. I know how to walk and talk it.
They don't have the blah blah, but they don't want the rah rah. Look, they don't want the comma. Nah, they don't got the armor. On the plate, there's no sriracha. No sauce, huh? Roll and fail, no balls, huh? But shorty great, no falls, bruh. Ever since my uncle stabbed my dad in the face, I bossed up. Best believe, boy. I be chasing next dream, joy. I be baking these beats, boy. Claim mom and Sage won the keys, boy. Then I be hating on the dream, boy. Two a mass on my theme through. So I'ma do this for my G-Ma. Up in heaven, bopping this preview. Yeah, miss. So hold me back, they don't want the smoke. And I ain't really trying to give it. I listen whenever my mama spoke. Now I'm just really trying to get it. It's your life, you should live it. Live it. Live it. Now I'm just really trying to get it. Get it. Get it. It's your life, you should live it. Live it. Live it. Now I'm just really trying to get it. Get it. It's your life, you should live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. Now I'm just really trying to get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Your life, you should live, 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 live. Now I'm just really trying to get it, get it.
My bigger cousin got life to front him. I couldn't function, I find me stuck in myself, not budging. If I kept it tucked in, if I was busting, with the repercussions, would I bust back? I mean, we are young blacks. Every day it feel like dodging death and finding ways to live. Like government hates me, my hood hates me, I can't leave my crib. Man, I'm out this, my fear can't hold me out from getting though. My guy got me, could've died when that car fought me, but I'm here. You don't want smoke, none of y'all want this smoke. What you think I go hard for, cause I'm crying on the phone. I was eating sprouts for a year on the couch, couldn't make any bones. Looking like I'm homeless, same three sweaters, I ain't had any money for some more. My dad's department departed, soon as things get started, I'ma have to sell this dope.
Yo, fire, she a pyro. Fight with me and I'll blow. I'll delete a guy's bones from the feet of 5-0. No police at my door. Luckily, my mind forged something to focus on. I'm on a roll, yeah, I'm on my DIY glow. And your opinions might know that all you gotta do is pay you. There's always gonna be a way through. Not even talking about the yay boo. And Govy, I got something to say too. Have faith in the trust I awarded you. I hate that I left and supported you. I pray that my brothers don't corner you. Hey, so hold me back, they don't want the smoke. And I ain't really trying to give it. I listen whenever my mama spoke. Now I'm just really trying to get it. It's your life, you should live it. Live it, live it. Now I'm just really trying to get it. Get it, get it. It's your life, you should live it. Live it, live it. Now I'm just really trying to get it. Get it. It's your life, you should live it. Live, live, live. Now I'm just really trying to get it. Get it, get it, get it. Your life, you should live, 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 live. Now I'm just really trying to get it, get it.
Thank you. Yeah. Truth is, we still looking for truth. Listen carefully. Yeah. Born an anomaly, left for questioning. Ain't no camaraderie, except for the robbery. Why we ain't praising monogamy? You are no prophecy. It takes a king and queen to rule a dynasty. We was all born property, pieces of their little monopoly. Why they exploiting our experience? And they projecting they fear on us. I see how you feeling. Worry about an image. Character appearance don't perpetuate the stereotype that our people is the type to be villains. I look inside Pandora's box and it's quite revealing.
What is it?
It's gonna take a whole generation to heal the children, heal the village. It's gonna take a lot of love and trust to reap the sinning. Yeah. We know who came before. This is not a dream. This the real thing. The only dream I know is words of Dr. King. The only dream I know is words of Dr. King. I hear the ringing, ships at the port. Catch you slipping, they gon' take you to the shore. Throw them chains on you, try and break you. The struggle is what shaped you, the truth is gon' save you. I can hear the village crying, pray they never gon' take you. Mighty God, angel, watch above, hope that they can save you. Throw them books at you, know they tryna redefine your language. Tiptoeing around the truth, that's the way you break your ankles. Hit you with the whips, keep you stuck on the block. The weight heavy, and your pride seem lost. Torn from your family, the game is such a vanity. Praying for some changes, I've been saving up on sanity. Dreaming all I am to be. You can't break me.
Never.
Chains I break thee.
Forever.
Chains I break free.
Forever.
I make peace.
Forever.
Pray for my homies and all my enemies.
Forever.
Your energy never hinder me.
Never.
Looking for truth, that be the remedy.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Tell me how you feel. The heart reveals. Tell me how you feel. The heart reveals. Tell me how you feel, 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 the heart reveals.
From a forthcoming record on World Galaxy called Sounds of Color, that's Black Nile with Revival featuring True. That Black Nile and part of kind of the same LA jazz, hip hop, soul collective that are part of Art Don't Sleep. Have worked with the likes of Kamasi Washington, Ronald Bruner, and the next person we're going to play, Flying Lotus. Before that, Melly Brown with Terminus off the Intersection EP, and we started that off with two tracks from Havia Mighty's 13th Floor, which is out today, and I strongly recommend streaming or listening to on some platform. Great, great record. So we're going to leave you with two tracks before we hand it over to After 8 Radio. So Flying Lotus has a new single called More, featuring Anderson .Paak. No surprise, both of those artists I like in my own right, so of course if they're together, I'm going to play them. And then Winnipeg's own Boniface just dropped a new single this week called Ghosts. This is it. This is Thank God It's Free Range, 101.5 UMFM.
Around I'm moving till it's clear, then I'm back to back in bags and loot. Spin, yeah. hands, trying to steer both hands on you. Till I finally understood that I was spinning my hoop, rather spinning my wheels, getting up in my years. But still I feel like a kid when I'm with you. Young gotta live, that's the motto they use. Without the still live in they mama's back room. So I'm back in my stoop, looking up at the stars when they reminisce over you.
That's when I got fall on their command. But if it kills us, we'll go.